Welcome to More Than Wealth with Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins from the Gold Wealth Management Group. In this podcast, we help business executives, business owners, and high net worth individuals navigate the multifaceted world of wealth planning. No matter how complex the situation, we provide financial advice and guidance to instill greater confidence in pursuing your life's goals. By leveraging the vast resources of UBS and collaborating with a team of external specialists, we'll delve into both basic and complex planning topics. Beyond the numbers, we'll also explore the stories behind the wealth. By interviewing business owners and thought leaders in our community, we aim to share insightful and inspiring tales of success. Join us on this journey where we explore wealth and the compelling stories behind it on More Than Wealth.
Hello and welcome to the More Than Wealth podcast with the team from Gold Wealth Management Group. Today's guest is Megan Clifford. Megan is Regional Director for New England at National Philanthropic Trust, NPT, based in Boston. She supports financial advisors across six states in helping clients reach their philanthropic goals. With over 20 years in the nonprofit sector, Megan previously held senior roles at Bank of America Charitable Gift Fund and worked with organizations like Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and the American Ireland Fund. She holds a BA in social work from the University of Vermont and is licensed in both Massachusetts and Ireland. Now, here are the hosts of the More Than Wealth podcast, Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins.
Welcome to More Than Wealth, where we explore the many ways financial decisions shape our lives, our futures, and the communities we care about. I'm Darren Gold.
And I'm Sam Hotchkins. Today, we're diving into a topic that's close to the heart, philanthropy. And to help us unpack it all, we're joined by Megan Clifford, Regional Director at National Philanthropic Trust, that we will shorten to NPT moving forward. NPT is one of the largest independent charities in the U.S. that specializes in donor-advised funds.
Megan, welcome to More Than Wealth. We're thrilled to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here and excited to talk to you both.
Well, you've been a great partner of ours for many years and a really excellent part of our extended team. So we appreciate you taking the time today. So Megan, let's just jump right in. Let's start with big picture first. What the heck is a donor advised fund, which we'll refer to as a DAF?
Great question. So overall, the simplest term is a donor advised fund is in and of itself a 501c3 public charity to which donors can put money into, receive a charitable deduction for that contribution that they made, but then take their time deciding where they'd like to grant to. So it's a really great, easy, turnkey approach to philanthropic planning and charitable giving and becoming more and more popular.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Megan. Can you just talk about kind of the main benefits donors should be aware of? Specifically, let's jump into from the giving standpoint and the tax planning standpoint, if you can just dive in a little bit deeper there.
First, I would say ease. Especially when you're looking at a donor advised fund, let's say, versus a private family foundation, which can be quite onerous from an administrative standpoint. There are fees involved with that. You know, there's a lot of upkeep. You need a board, things of that nature for a private foundation. With a donor advised fund, the sponsor, in this case, let's say NPT, takes care of all the administrative pieces of your charitable giving. So again, we're the 501c3 public charity. You make a contribution. You can choose to have an investment strategy that will grow tax-free, so more charitable dollars for you to utilize. We take care of all the administration pieces of your giving, the due diligence checks for the charity, the mailing of the actual grant to the charity, or some of our organizations are registered with PayPal, which is a wonderful way for a very quick grant to go out the door.
Wow,
which
that's
is
great.
A piece of really great new technology that we're utilizing. And also, I think just it allows for some of the things that a foundation would, in that you can have legacy planning, you can have reoccurring grants. But donor advised funds are great for, let's say you're having a liquidity event and you need to give some money to a charity to help offset some things from a tax perspective. You also at the same time know you want to be charitable, but you're not quite sure where and how you want to make that impact. You open up your donor advised fund, you get that charitable deduction, and then again, you can take your time deciding where to grant to. It's not like a private foundation where you have to give away 5% a year. Most donor advised funds just ask for some kind of activity, be it a grant out or a contribution in, within a few years. And we also have a great team here. If you're not quite sure where you want to give to, or maybe you want to know how to have that conversation with your family, we can help you with that as well.
Yeah, it's important. I think a lot of people use donor advised funds and foundation interchangeably, and they're very different. And a DAF is just so simplistic for clients. Those are some really great benefits. I think one misconception is, like you said, they have to fund the donor advised fund and then immediately send out that money to the charities. And that's super overwhelming. So that's a great point to have. I think another misconception that we hear a lot, clients, even our family members, when we're talking about donor advised funds, is that you have to be ultra wealthy to open one. Can you kind of talk about that misconception?
I've been in the DAF space for over 20 years, and I can tell you, you do not have to be ultra wealthy to have a donor advised fund. Different DAFs have different minimums as far as what you can open with. So it's really about finding the right donor advised fund space for yourself. But in no way do you have to be ultra high net worth to have a donor advised fund.
Mm.
So donor advised funds are great for kind of reactive giving. Private foundations can take a long time to decide where they're going to grant money out to. Whereas with a donor advised fund, the money's already set aside. So say there is a natural disaster or a charity comes to you, a friend is racing in the PMC and you'd like to support them. The money's already set aside in the donor advised fund. You're not going into your own finances then. So it's a great way to quickly get support out the door. And again, the donor advised fund sponsor is taking care of all that administrative burden for you. So I think that's a great way to look at it as well.
That's a huge benefit. My wife and I do have a donor advised fund, and it is so easy to use. The platform is simple. I don't know. So can you talk a little bit about, so from the point, let's say, for example, you mentioned the PanMass Challenge. So you want to donate to somebody that just completed the PanMass Challenge. What are the logistics and what's the time frame from making the gift to the charity receiving that gift?
Well, I'd like to pause first and just give high level how a donor advised fund can be used, because it does differ than giving out of pocket directly to a charity. And the basis is, and this is all donor advised funds across the board, the basis is you've given that money to a charity for which you received a deduction. So the best rule of thumb is no goods or services or personal benefit back to yourself or your family. So what does that mean? You can't, buy a table at an event or
maybe a golf tournament, maybe something like that.
Exactly. Anything where you're going to be participating in or getting goods or services. Now, at the PMC or the Boston Marathon, that's a bit different because you are supporting their fundraising efforts for a charity, not the individual themselves. So certainly allowable. I just saw a whole bunch come through for the PMC. Another race already happened, but you're still getting money for those. So basically, you submit the grant. We always say, submit it directly through the donor portal. I know a lot of charity websites might have a link to like a widget for donor advised funds. Those don't allow you to put the specifics in necessarily. So if you want to support a specific rider or participant, go directly to the DAF website. You find the charity, put in the details. We take care of the rest and issue the grant out.
It's so easy.
You can decide if you'd like it to be anonymous. Just your name and address, totally anonymous. So every time you put a grant in, you determine how you'd like it to look when it's received by the charity.
Great. And can you talk a little bit about the actual the giving resources and the team or the process where you're protecting donors from, let's say, nefarious type of charities? So there might be a charity who has terrorist ties or something like that. We've got a lot of executives that use donor advised funds, and there is kind of back end just protection for them to ensure that these are viable and legitimate charities when they make the gifts.
So again, we take care of all that administrative burden. So when you log on to the donor portal, you have access to GuideStar, which pulls directly from the IRS database. And from there you can see, is it a 501c3 public charity or equivalent? You won't always find them on there. By equivalent, I mean religious house of worship or government instrumentality, such as a public school. They don't have to register with the IRS. They're kind of already considered a charity for those purposes. But we're always going to do our due diligence on every grant that is submitted. Is it a 501c3 public charity or equivalent? You know, if it's an international grant, for example, we're looking at equivalency determination, expenditure responsibility, the OFAC list, all of that. So they can rest assured that the money is going to a verified charity. Because again, the donor advised fund sponsor is the one actually making the grant. So we want to make sure as well, to protect charitable status, that the grants are only going to verified charities and that the purpose is allowable from a donor advised fund as well.
I think that due diligence is so key. I mean, no one wants to spend that time kind of digging deep, researching. It's just so easy. Log in, have NPT do the research for them. I think that's awesome. Talking about kind of funding a DAF, you can fund it with cash. What other asset classes are you able to start and contribute?
So again, that's the beauty of a DAF. They're simple in structure, but can take very complex assets. Cash is still king in so many ways across the board for giving, especially, you know, at year end, people are thinking, oh, I'll just write a check to a charity. There's so much more that you can look at. Certainly, we can take cash. We can take in marketable securities, mutual funds, but also more complex assets. So as you're looking at your client's overall picture, do they have crypto? Do they have a liquidity event coming up? Art, real estate, private equity, hedge funds, all of that. So if those things kind of bubble up during a conversation, especially as we get closer to year end, that's where you would bring myself in to kind of talk that through, what it looks like, and then we take it from there as far as the due diligence. Because we're looking at three things. Can we accept it? Can we hold it even for a day? And then what is the path to liquidity? But all of those things, all the more complex and liquid assets are certainly feasible for a donor advised fund.
So ideally, then, you really want to target appreciated assets because you're giving away or you're gifting something with a large capital gain potentially. And so not only are you avoiding, I don't know if that's the correct term, but I suppose it is, the capital gain, but you're also on the fair market value of the total value of the gift, you're getting a deduction on that as well. So it's really a double benefit. You're not paying that capital gain, and then you're also receiving a deduction on the total amount that gets gifted into the donor advised fund. Is that accurate?
Exactly. So long term, so a year and a day, you're going to receive the high low average or FMV for the day you receive those shares.
Mm-hmm.
They're then sold, and the proceeds are placed into your donor advised fund. Invested, some more charitable dollars tax-free for you.
Okay.
That's great.
How have the recent tax laws changed or reshaped philanthropy? Any significant changes in the Reconciliation Act that affect the way that we give?
I think that remains to be seen, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's still early days and all of that. I think what we will see is that, you know, because these changes really aren't taking or kicking in until next year, we're going to have a very busy year end in philanthropy, I think. A lot of people are, you know, you hear the term front loading their donor advised fund or their charitable giving, bunching their deductions. And so people are being very thoughtful, but I think we're going to have a very busy year end.
Right.
That is good to know. What is the turnaround time for opening up a DAF? Can you talk to us about that?
Very, very quick. So everything's done on our donor portal, GivingPoint.
Yeah,
you can go in for a client or the client goes in. We just do the basic information, you know, who's going to be acting on the donor advised fund? What do they want to call it? How would they want to have it invested? We also allow for legacy planning. Now, that's not required account opening, but a very good conversation to have with the clients. And they can amend it at any time, so it's not set in stone. They can either name individuals or a charity or a mix of both. We also have an endowment option as well. So those are things to think about. But overall, once we've received that and the contribution agreement, which tells us what's coming over to expect for that donor advised fund, you're looking at a few days. Now, I will say at year end, the closer we get to December 31st, all those SLAs are a little bit extended, as you can imagine, and that goes to contributions coming in, grants going out. So, and actually our 2025 year-end deadlines will be available in the coming days.
Okay. So November is a good, November 1st is a good starting point.
I feel like year-end starts earlier and earlier every year. We start planning on January 1st for the coming giving season. So never too early to start.
One of our favorite conversations to have with clients is the discussion on, you know, bringing in the family, bringing the kids as early as possible. I think it's such a meaningful exercise to go through with your kids and something like even a quarterly or semi-annual giving meeting. You can even do it around the holidays and just talk to your young kids or even adult kids about, everyone bring, to the meeting or to the discussion, some of the charities that are near and dear to their heart, and kind of go through, okay, what's the family giving strategy, and just get everyone involved. Do you see a lot of that when working with clients? Is that something that's great.
I love seeing the family get involved and using, Thanksgiving to talk about, because philanthropy is so personal, right? And even when you're talking with your clients, you're talking about pretty personal things. What's important to them? What do they want their legacy to be? And money can be very hard for people to talk about, especially in families. So that dynamic is always there as well. But it's so important to have those conversations. And we've talked about this before. I had a client they had a private family foundation and they're opening up a DAF as well. And they referred to the DAF as a private foundation with training wheels.
I love that. As a great way
to kind of bring the kids slowly to understand impact, the family's philanthropic legacy and endeavors. And it gives, the younger generation, we talk about this great wealth transfer and we're seeing in action, and what a better way than to get them involved in philanthropy.
No, I love that. It's all about kind of empowering the next generation. And it's such a good, like you said, a little training wheel to get them more involved. And like Darren said, it's such powerful conversations that you can have at the dinner table, and doesn't have to be anything big. It's going to be like, hey guys, we have $1,000 this year to give back. Like, where do we want to focus our resources? And I also think it kind of streamlines like where you want to give to like that year. It's like, okay, are we focusing on education, or are we focusing on Debbie running this marathon in her charity? So it kind of helps you say no in a very respectful manner, is be like, actually, we're focusing this year on natural disasters and education. And so maybe next year we'll be able to support your cause. But this year, my family and I have kind of discussed that. So it's some really cool conversations that you can have with your next generation grandkids at the dinner table.
I love that. And Megan, does the NPT site, does it track and kind of categorize all of your kind of different categories that you're giving, whether it be education or all the different types of philanthropy, so you can kind of track that over time?
So our donor portal does break down what the granting history has been for each client. It's broken down by health sector, environment, and animal care, arts and culture, health, and human services. So you see a little pie chart when you log into your donor portal.
Yeah.
And just going back to the donor portal as well, everything you need for your donor advised fund is there. Your granting history, your contribution history, your gift receipts for contributions that are made in. Everything lives there for you.
And we have so much easier,
So easy. Foundation. Everything's in one place. We have a great team here too that can walk you through everything. Not everyone is comfortable with using the site straight away. So we're always happy to help that with that.
Great. And I don't think, did we talk about minimums? I think that's important to mention as well. So maybe you can just give us, NPT, but just kind of the greater DAF landscape. Like, what's a typical minimum to start a donor advised fund?
You can start as low as $10,000, but again, it runs the gamut and they can be much larger than that as well. And again, comparing it to a private foundation, which, you need a lot more than $10,000. It really is a better option for a lot of people who are just starting in this space. And something I always talk to advisors about as well is it's a great tool for your relationship management with your clients as well. They might have a small DAF or a very large relationship with you. So regardless of how small the DAF is, everyone's treated with the exact same attention to detail and administrative care across the board, all of our donors. And we have a great team here that work just with the donors. Again, any questions that come up, any concerns, great resources for you.
Okay, great. So very reasonable minimums. You want to recap real quick, Sam?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just recap. So Megan, very easy to establish. It seems like it's no different than opening a typical brokerage account for the most part, right? Just collecting information from the client, most of which we would already have. Tax filings are handled at the NPT level.
Exactly.
Versus a foundation, which requires a separate tax filing. So that's super convenient. Investments, once the money is in the donor advised fund, the investments are handled by the advisor for the most part. And then fees, an asset-based fee, just like I would say a typical mutual fund would be, kind of runs the range in and around 1%. And once that account is established, you can start just gifting different assets into it. You mentioned it runs the gamut in terms of what you can gift into that foundation. But from start to finish, they're very easy to set up. Is there anything that I missed?
No, I think we've talked about all the great points. And I do think that, you know, it's timely as we move towards year end to have this conversation now. I'd love to ask both of you how you address this with your clients. And I know you make philanthropy, you know, central to all of your conversations. I'd love to know how that started for you and how you incorporate that into your daily work with your clients.
So philanthropy and connecting back to the community has always been something that's really front and center for Sam and I. So during our discovery process, we always ask, you know, what is their philanthropic intent? And right off the bat, you know, it's funny. It's we usually get a strong opinion one way or the other. Do you notice that?
Yes.
You know, right. So once we establish whether or not there's a philanthropic intent, then we start to kind of discover a little bit more about what that intent is, and then we'll set up either a donor advised fund or a foundation. And you know, we really try to involve and educate. Like bringing in the family is a big part of this. And I think it's such a great way to communicate and transfer your legacy to your kids. We've got the situation right now that we're working with one of our larger clients where the daughter is the successor trustee. So we're bringing her along in terms of educating her, and she gets to see all of her father's gifts and giving for the last, you know, 20 or 30 years and try to get a sense of kind of what her giving strategy is going to be when her father's gone. So it really is a big part of what we do. And of course, there's the tax benefits to it as well. Think about all the stocks and tech stocks that have increased in value significantly over the years. It's just a great way, to move some appreciated shares out of their estate and continue that giving strategy that's worked well for them for so long.
And I'll add, not only do we kind of talk about it, but we also put it into practice. We have two client opportunities, volunteer events in November, December that we always invite our clients to. So last year it was the Greater Boston Food Bank and a few other charities. And this year we haven't quite decided who will be helping in the Boston area, but it's really important to us and our group. So we like to put those opportunities out there for our clients to kind of give back with us in the community.
That's great. There's so many wonderful charities in Boston and New England. So that's great to hear. To your point, Darren, you just touched on one thing I wanted to mention as well, that DAFs can really be incorporated in their overall estate planning. So that's something to think about as well. And another conversation we can have maybe another time, you know, naming a DAF in the trust documents, a CRUT or a CLAT, you know, things of that nature. So something to think about as well as you're looking big picture at your client's book.
Great point.
Great.
All right. So just being mindful of time, again, thank you so much. But before we let you go, it's tradition on More Than Wealth to ask kind of a health and wellness question, because at the end of the day, if you aren't healthy enough, what is kind of the wealth that you just built? You want to be able to enjoy it. So what's one health and wellness routine, tip, trick that you would love to share with all of us that you really just can't live without, that's part of your daily routine?
I love this question. There's two parts of it. There's the actual, we all talk about physically moving every day, getting that sunlight every morning. And that's something that's very important to me. be it yoga, spin, running, you name it. But I think connection as well. And I think that's what we're lacking these days, is connection with others in person. You know, I'm very lucky that I live in a neighborhood right now where I can walk out the door and know all my neighbors and talk to everyone. And I think connection is very, very important for mental health and well-being all around.
I love that. Thank you.
That's the first connection answer we've got.
I
totally agree, especially where we are today in society. So make a concerted effort to get out. And you just, did you move? You were in the North End. I'll say that you're a neighbor of mine. So
surrounded by boxes as we speak. I'm moving to Back Bay at the end of the month, which will be very exciting.
That is a big move. So
big move.
Well, we'll miss you in the neighborhood, that's for sure. So all right, well, let's close it out. Megan, thank you so much for sharing your expertise in making philanthropy feel approachable. Whether someone's giving $5,000 or $5 million, the key is intentionality, and we strongly believe that. And the right tools like Donor Advised Fund can make a really big difference. So thank you for taking the time for being on the show today. And we want to thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe to More Than Wealth wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, remember, true wealth isn't about what you have. It's about who you become.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at advisors.ubs.com/thegoldgroup or give us a call at 617-261-2662. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Gold Wealth Management Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Please do not transmit orders or instructions regarding a UBS account by email. For your protection, UBS does not accept and act on such instructions. Similarly, UBS does not accept trading instructions via voicemail, text messages, instant messaging, or facsimile. Do not include information containing account numbers, social security numbers, credit card numbers, passwords, or other personal information. Please speak directly with your financial advisor if you need to give instructions related to your account. Please be advised that where data regarding your account and or accounts is provided in this email, it should not be considered official UBS books and records. Official UBS records. Official UBS records are documents such as confirmations, statements, and portfolio management reports, which UBS provides to you periodically. In some cases, the data shown is taken from internal UBS systems and fluctuates with market and transaction activity. Assets in your account and or accounts that are not valued daily, for example, alternative investments and annuities, are accurately reflected only in official UBS records. You should review your official UBS records for disclosures about those values and all of the information needed to understand the data provided with this email. For non-clients, if you do not want to receive these types of commercial email messages, please complete the unsubscribe form at https://www.ubs.com/us/en/wealth-management/contact-us/unsubscribe.html. to indicate that you do not want to be contacted by email. For more information about how UBS processes your data, including how we protect your rights and respect your data, please refer to our privacy notice at https://www.ubs.com/global/en/legal/privacy/USA.html.